now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning. Welcome. Feedback. 715-845-2155. It's the Wednesday edition of your program. 715-845-2155. All right. Yesterday during the program, we had a caller, a listener call in, and remind me of the face-off, as it was called, between Bill Nye and creationist Ken Ham. Now, that happened last night from the Creation Museum in Petersburg, Kentucky. This is, of course, the facility that Ken Ham is in charge of. It was an interesting circumstance. I saw bits and pieces of it. I'm going to be full disclosure. I did not get to see all of it. It was a almost 3-hour event, and no, did not have the ability to catch all of it. However, I have been reading tremendous amounts of the pros and cons from this debate that happened last night, and I thought we would throw it open for discussion today. There was some very interesting aspects regarding the discussion, and I would love to hear from you if you saw it all. It would be good to hear from you. So let me start off with in the opening remarks, Ham made it very clear that he was respectful of scientists and others that hold the evolutionary view. He was not he was not degrading. He was not insulting. He didn't belittle anyone other's view and any other view. However, he did make a very good comment that just because you are a individual that believes God created our existence and universe does not mean you cannot be a scientist. And this is an interesting thing that he brought up, that for lack of a better term, atheists, secularists, and so forth have, for all intents and purposes, hijacked religion. Hijacked science, and have made it their religion, using science as an attempt to disprove God instead of listening with an open mind. All right. So Ham goes on and says, listen, there are many, many scientists that are Christians, that do support the, and I'm going to, just to be fair, the theory of creationism and the theory that God created everything. I personally do not consider it to be a theory. I hold it that in whatever form, way, shape, however he decided to do it, that God created everything that we know to be existence, from the grandest to the smallest. That's my personal belief. Ham, in his approach, I thought, did an excellent job of explaining the tenets of creationism. I thought that he did a very good job of explaining that we as Christians do not rely on our own understanding, but that we as Christians take in faith that an omniscient, omnipotent God, for his own reasons, created us and all things around us. Then the conversation was turned over to Bill Nye. And unfortunately, I can't be as complimentary to the rhetoric of Bill Nye as I can of Mr. Ham. Bill Nye came out with, well, unfortunately, I hate to say that, the attitude that I was expecting. He had a bit of an air of an elitist, an individual who would give you the impression that, well, listen, you simply don't understand physics and science the way I do, so therefore I can't expect you in your small brain to be able to comprehend the complexities that is quantum physics, theoretical physics, and the understanding that we as mankind have of the universe. He then began picking apart the story of Noah. Now, the points that Bill Nye brings up about the story of Noah, very good points, okay? He says, Bill Nye says, that there is no strong evidence that a global flood ever happened. On the contrary, I have seen many scientists talk about how there is a layer of sediment worldwide that seems to give credence to many land masses around the earth having experienced a tremendous flood all basically at about the same time. I suppose that Bill Nye and other scientists have evidence that would discredit that information that was out. I haven't seen it, so I can't make a comment about that. But I have seen the documentaries, the research, and papers that say there's a sedimentary coalition. There's a commonality in that aspect that would lend credence to a flood theory. He also then basically said, let me just say, he says, we are standing on millions of layers of ancient life. How could those animals have lived their entire lives and formed those layers in 4,000 or 6,000 years? Okay, there is a critical issue between creationism and evolution. Hardcore traditional creationists believe the timeline of Scripture, 4,000 to 6,000 years. There is undeniably physical evidence on this planet that shows creation, matter, existing for hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years. So how do you reconcile those two? I don't know. I don't have the answer. If it's important when I am standing before God, I'll ask him, hey, so the Bible says it lasted this long. Physical evidence says it lasted this long. You want to explain it to me? That is, if that is still important to me at that particular juncture.
Will it be over a beer or a glass of wine?
I don't know. He's pouring, so it's up to him. I know the Baptists in the audience just about had a heart attack right there.
Right, right.
Yeah,
well, we've heard the old line where you can hang out in heaven and they've got a hell of a band. You know, go down to the nightclub in heaven. You've got your choice of.
I haven't heard that.
No?
No. I've heard in heaven you can't sue anybody because all the lawyers are in hell.
Mozart.
Anyway, so in Bill Nye goes on to say, and he's now focusing on the story of Noah. He says, inherent in this worldview, somehow Noah and his family were able to build a wooden ship that would house 14,000 animals. Okay, that's pretty impressive, and I can understand that if you were to be an individual that relied only on human understanding and human ability, you would think, a ship big enough to hold 14,000? No, can't be done. He said these people were unskilled. I agree. He said they all had to get these animals on there, and they had to feed them. There was a small group of individuals living on that boat, 14,000 animals. How in the world could you do that? He goes and questions further. He says, is it reasonable that Noah and his family were able to maintain 14,000 animals and themselves on a ship that was bigger than anyone's been able to build?
How did the Noah story become the center of this? Were they promoting the new movie or something?
No. It's just, this is one of those things where you pick out a segment of Scripture that you feel that you have the best argument against. And I don't blame Bill Nye for... As an individual that comes out and says and purports that science
from the audience,
he purports that science has the ability to explain our natural physical environment, and so I don't blame him for taking the story of Noah and saying, okay, let's take a look at it in a humanistic secular viewpoint. That was a smart tactic on his point, but what I say here is it is a clear example of the difference in how we approach things. Bill Nye feels that it is impossible for mankind to take on this feat. And if you take God out of the faction, you got to agree 100%. It would be impossible. But if you factor in an all-knowing, all-aware, all, you know, everywhere at the same time, God that had the ability to create everything from nothing, do you think it's really that hard for him to help a family take care of a few thousand animals? It's about perspective. All right, we're going to take our first break. Your phone call, 715-845-2155, when we come back.
The News, Talk, and Packers Station. News Talk 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback, 715-845-2155. Let's jump to the phones. And first up, Bruce, thanks for calling.
Yes, you're welcome. I think this whole debate is patently ridiculous, frankly. I see no reason why creationism and science need to be mutually exclusive.
Well, you know, that's the thing that Ham was saying, is that creationism and science does not have to be mutually exclusive. It is the secularists and the atheists that have glommed on to science and made it their religion, trying to cause there to be a divide between the two. And it doesn't have to be that way.
That's very true. It's the same people that are trying to kill Christmas. But
well, let me ask you this, though, for the sake of argument. Scientists working to prove things that they can see, feel, touch,
sure,
hear, whatever, and you know, something mystical, something magical, if you will, is hard to have that done. So, yeah, there are differences between the two. I mean, they can be mutually exclusive.
That's true. The creationists basically are trying to prove that God exists and thereby destroying their faith, actually, if they could prove it, and they never will.
Yeah,
on the other side, the scientists say that there's 10 million-year-old rocks, and there are.
Mm-hmm.
And who says God didn't create those? He created the earth in 6 days. What is a day to God? A day to us is one revolution of the earth. Maybe to God it's a revolution of the earth around the sun, or maybe the galaxy around our galaxy through around the galaxy, around the universe.
You know, I saw a book. It was a children's book, and it was answers for children to biblical questions. Excuse me. And this issue of this time differential was addressed. And it said that, and you're going to have to help me here because I can't chapter and verse you. It wasn't the first day that God created the sun. It wasn't. It was like day three, wasn't it?
I think so.
Okay. So until that point, there was no 24-hour day as we know it.
That's right.
So,
And what about...
To an entity that has no end or beginning, exactly what is supposed to be a day?
That's convenient.
No, nobody knows.
Well, okay, you say it's convenient. And thank you, Bruce, for calling in. I appreciate it.
Just one more thing.
Yes, sir?
What about all the other galaxies out there, the stars, the planets, the perhaps life out there?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about that too? It just said Earth, you know.
Seth doesn't believe that there is life elsewhere.
I don't believe there's sentient life elsewhere. There may be mold and plants.
There are darn sure a lot of stars and galaxies out there.
Oh, yeah. I agree that statistically there should be billions of planets that would harbor life exactly like our own.
Yep.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if one of these days in the far distant future we could gaze upon a planet that had water and plant life and perhaps even animals.
They think they found one with water already.
Sure. Well, they think Mars had water at one point. But anyway, the point is, I do not believe we will find sentient beings that are going to hold up a sign that says, hey, we've been waiting for you. Come on by.
No, they may be holding up something else.
Well, that's true, too. Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate your call.
Yep.
I was told by somebody who watched the show that there was a question from the audience that said, they asked both people, what would it take to change your mind? And Mr. Ham said, nothing could change my mind.
Right.
Mr. Nye said, I wish you would prove to me so that I would change my mind.
Well, that's a very interesting point on Nye's aspect.
I wish that, you know, maybe an angel would fly down and discuss these things with me, or something that could prove to me that your ideas mm-hmm. do exist and do carry weight.
But faith is the tenet of the Christian belief.
I understand.
And without faith, it is nothing more than any other religion that's on the planet. You must have faith. Now,
but
here's
faith
the interest.
Not provable.
Well, no, on an individual basis, it most certainly is. On an individual basis, as a man asks God to increase his faith, God is faithful to answer that and to do exactly that. Now, here's the fun part of that. Quite often, increasing our faith, giving us the opportunity to know that God is there and has our back, is not always pleasant. When you give God permission to intervene in your life, he is going to begin to weed out the things of your life that go against his nature, because you've given God the permission to do so. The end result is peace and a sense of well-being. And I'm not talking Scientology sense of well-being. Oh, this guy's the... I'm talking an inner peace, knowing that God has you. It is beyond anything else that you can experience. But it begins with faith. And when you are an individual that must have a tangible object in your hand to believe that it exists, you're cutting off that opportunity. You're cutting off the opportunity. Now, you said an interesting point before we had the caller. And help me to remember. You said something that's non-tangible. You said that to believe in things that are mystical.
Mystical or magical, yes.
Mystical or magical. It's very difficult to do that and have faith in what you're doing, right? And you're referring to biblical principles.
That's what scientists will say, that the purpose of science and the quote-unquote theory is to prove by the scientific method,
right,
by experimentation, whatever the case may be, your premise.
Then,
impossible to do when it comes to creationism and the mysticism of religion.
That is the very heart of theoretical physics. When you look at string theory, which brings in the thought of multiple symbiotic universes, multiple existence. In other words, you and I exist. You and I physically, not just emotionally, not just spiritually, but physically, you and I exist on 11 or more different planes of reality. You're going to tell me that that doesn't smack and smell a little bit of mysticism and magic? It's if
the
you
God
look
particle?
If you look at it from just a common sense standpoint, you look at it and go, I'm sorry, what the hell are you trying to prove by saying that there are multiple existence? Now, I know that the mathematics works. I got it. That string theory and some of the other correlative theories along with that, it works as far as math is concerned. But if you want to compare mysticism to mysticism, God that created heaven and earth and gave his ultimate sacrifice of his son so that we could live with him for all eternity, or multiple universes that nobody can explain how they communicate, interact, or if they even exist, not one shred of evidence that that even exists. Which side of that kind of mysticism is a little more goofy? WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
Thank you for such a great show.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
Okay, here's the point I'm trying to make.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.